This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
All right, November 2nd is here. Welcome in, fans of history. This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert with you, Armand Kachigian, as always, alongside as we break down the events, who was born, and who kicked the bucket throughout the annals of time on the 2nd of November. Armand, you got any housekeeping today?
Yeah, I got a couple things. Howard Keel was in Annie, Get Your Gun, not Gordon McRae. I should have known that. That was
Howard
terrible.
Howard Keel.
Another unsupportable mistake was Ariel. It was Ariel's song, Full Fathom Five, Thy Father Lies, etc.
Yes.
She was speaking to Ferdinand from The Tempest, although I did get the words right. Galloping Ghost was not a nickname or sobriquet.
Oh.
Coined by our friend Grantland Rice, even though a lot of people think that. It was Warren Brown who wrote for the Chicago American, although Grantland Rice did dub the Four Horsemen. Remember them for Notre Dame?
Yes, Notre Dame.
Can you name them?
No.
I can.
Okay.
No notes. Struldreyer, Miller, Leiden, and Crowley. The Notre Dame backfield from the 20s. The Four Horsemen.
The Four
Which,
Horsemen.
By the way, was the movie that made Rudolph Valentino famous.
So it was also
Four
a pop culture reference
Four
from
Horsemen
the 20s.
The Apocalypse.
Yeah.
From a book by, oh boy, who wrote the book?
Which is good because you have the Four Horsemen, you know, alluding to the apocalypse coming from Notre Dame.
Right. Well, yeah.
Catholic school.
And now we also had the, how'd it go on the Supreme Court? Wasn't it the Three Horsemen or was it the Four Horsemen and
I don't know.
Three Wise Men or whatever?
I don't know.
I got to come up with those again because I know who they were. Cardoza. The people's lawyer, the other Jew, Louis Brandeis, and Harlan Stone.
Harlan
Stone. Were they the Three Horsemen? I think they called them the Three Horsemen.
Three Horsemen of the Supreme Court.
And then they had
the
Four Old Men, or whatever. They were the liberals, and the Four Old Men, or whatever, the Four Horsemen, were the conservatives, which, you know, of course, Roosevelt couldn't stand them. Court packing, etc. So what are we starting with today? I think that's all I've...
Had Brandeis, Cardozo, Stone.
Yeah, what were they called, though? The Three Horsemen? Is that what they're called?
Yeah, and they were opposed by the Four Horsemen, consisting of McReynolds, Sutherland, Van Deventer,
yeah.
And Pierce Butler.
I didn't know that. Van Deventer, I knew.
And, you know, Chief Justice at the time was Charles
Evans Hughes. Yes, correct. Took place of Taft in 1930.
Yeah, there you go.
Charles Evans Hughes.
Oh, that's tremendous recall. I got 1889 as a starting point. What do you have, Armand?
Well, I don't even have the date down because I just have his name, Edward V. I think it's his birth. No, it's his death, so.
Yeah, so we say
not
that.
Not deaths either, so.
It goes for the end of the show.
Well, yeah, but someone else was coronated, so.
There you have it. Okay, 1889, the Dakotas enter the Union as states number 39, North, 40, South, in 1889. So they've only been states for 100, not even 150 years.
That was
years
an answer
yet.
To another trivia question I asked you, under whose reign as president were the most states admitted, next to Washington, of course. I guess they were already states, though, so... No, it was Benjamin Harrison.
The expansion of the West really takes off. Yeah. Still think that should only be one state, but that is a lot of land either way.
Yes, but California should be three.
Oh, I'm not
Illinois, too.
I'm not arguing the point.
You know, back in the 70s, Illinois also
wanted
to split into three states.
Yeah. Three?
Yeah, three,
why
I believe.
Three?
Well, Chicago's one.
Well,
that's
a city state
Southern,
already.
And then whatever, up north. You know,
Southern
north
doesn't have much going for it economically.
What's with you and economics? What's that got to do with it?
It doesn't. What is Southern Illinois
Since
generally?
When has that been a demarcator of, you know...
Of statehood?
Of anything. You made that dumb point yesterday.
No, it wasn't a dumb point. It was just a point.
Well, you're talking about GDP. I told you. GDP, government spending is included in GDP. So Washington, D.C. has got $4 trillion right there. right?
They don't spend it all in Washington, D.C.
It doesn't matter. That's where it comes from. The government spends it. Apple doesn't spend all their money in Cupertino, but it's still, that's where it is. So I'm sure that's where you got that factoid. Anyway, and I didn't appreciate that stupid message you sent me on Facebook. That's exactly the reason I, how did you get that through anyway? I thought I blocked you. That thing you sent last
posted
night.
Posted it right on your wall. Oh. Ayn Rand.
I can't block that?
Paul Ryan.
Yeah, I want to unfollow you.
And Rand Paul.
Right.
All walk into a bar.
Right. And there's no regulations.
There's no bartender regulations. Serves them. They get served tainted alcohol and they all die.
Okay. Now, do you realize the illogic of that on many levels? So I guess what happens next? Then they sue the bar. It's regulated out of existence by Chuck Schumer and Barack Obama. And Hillary Clinton steals the money from the bar, from the assets, right?
Here's,
and sells them to Russia.
Here's Clinton's share of the 2016 presidential election by gross domestic product. You can see here, L.A. County, New York, Harris, Cook, Orange, and Dallas counties. So we got Texas, Illinois, California, and New York represented. And you can see her share. This was my point. There you have it.
Yeah, but that just means that's a concentration of wealth, not necessarily anything else.
No, it says candidate share of gross domestic product.
Right.
Right there.
That means virtually nothing.
Less than 500 counties won by Hillary Clinton.
I don't think she won. I thought she won like 67 counties. I don't think it's anywhere near 500 counties.
No, it's 500, Armand. Jesus. I mean, again,
I'm going to look it up.
Is the Brookings Institute fake news?
Yes.
Too? Oh, okay. All right. Of course it is. All right. It says it right here.
Well, it doesn't mean anything. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just reading a point. The less than 500 counties won by Hillary Clinton generated 64% of America's GDP in 2015. The more than 2,600 counties won by Donald Trump. That's better 5-to-1 ratio there.
That's right.
Which I said you were correct on.
Okay. Yes.
That ratio, the ratio's off the charts, generated 36% of America's GDP.
Okay.
My point was, someone did an article saying the counties that generated 2/3 of our nation's GDP went Clinton, 1/3 went Trump.
Wonderful. That means nothing.
It means nothing to you? Fine. That's the point. I made it. There it is. And again, if ever I make a point, folks, it means nothing.
No, all I say is listeners can judge for themselves if that means anything. I think we know. Because GDP means nothing. Anyway,
get to your... That's a good argument, though, right?
It's true.
The yeah.
GDP means nothing as an economic indicator.
Right. What it is...
That's money spent.
What it is past performance.
Well, money spent, which is not necessarily... What's the best... You know, everybody knows the best thing for the economy is savings. That's not included in GDP. In fact, I just read a great article about it on the Von Mises at the Von Mises Institute.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's your standard definition of gross domestic product.
Well, I know what it is.
Okay, what is it then?
Well, it's government spending.
No.
Yeah,
it's
of
not.
Course it is.
They no, it's
it.
Not.
It,
they it's say, included in,
it's
but
included?
It's, you can't say it's government spending. That is an adjective that you have to take off. Okay? It is the total value of goods produced and services provided in a country during 1 year.
Including the government.
Including the government. When you say it as an adjective, government spent. No, it's not just the government. It's everything.
But it's what the government spends. It's not what the government's okay. worth. Do you think the Washington Monument's included in GDP?
Armand, I fail to see where you're missing this. Okay.
Well, when you say, you just said government. What do you mean by government?
I didn't Define just it. Say government. Nowhere in this definition is the word government issued.
I don't. So what? What definition is that?
Well, you've really gone over, haven't you?
What definition? Where are you getting your definition?
Gross domestic product.
Go to the Von Mises Institute.
Okay.
You'll get the real definition.
Oh, this again. Now we have fake
Say
definitions.
Say it again.
I just said it's a standard definition of gross domestic product. Here it is: the total value of goods purchased and services provided in a country during 1 year. That's what it is.
Okay. How does okay? Now define define how government fits in that.
Because the government certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what goods our government
produces.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
But they
services
certainly
provide.
Purchase.
No.
Or, and provide.
Says services provided. So they it's what the government spends, because all they do is provide
services.
But
you're talking as if GDP is only a reflection of governmental output.
Correct.
It is not.
Of course it is.
No.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay, the government owns 40% of the land west of the Mississippi. Is that included in GDP? Of course not. It's not included. It's what the government spends. That's the only way you can define government.
I don't know.
Minus the salaries, et cetera, the Senate, et cetera.
I don't know where.
Well, I don't know where you don't understand it.
I don't know why
it's so outrageous to say it's what the government spends, because the government doesn't create anything.
Okay, I'm going to take one more crack at this.
No, I don't want to hear it. You don't know what you're talking about. As you
No, I clearly do.
Get your economics teacher.
I clearly do.
What does the government produce? When you talk about Apple in this, it's what they produce, how much money they produce, right? Minus what they spend. The government doesn't produce anything. They just spend.
I'll read it again. The total
it's
value
government
of
expenditure.
Goods produced.
That's it.
No, the gross domestic product is not our government expenditure.
Yes, that's when you talk about government, that's what they're talking about. They're not talking about what the government makes.
I'm not talking about government. I'm talking about GDP.
Okay, let me ask you this. Okay, say the government takes in $1 trillion.
Because
wait
under,
a minute. Wait,
under
I'm
your
gonna
definition,
ask, I'm
Armand,
I'm
we're
asking,
a communist country.
Wait
then.
A minute. I'm asking you a question. As it relates to GDP, the government takes in $1 trillion in taxes, say, right? But they spend $1.5 trillion because the government doesn't give a shit, right? They're in deficit. What does the GDP reflect? $1 trillion or $1.5 trillion? Answer me that. I say it represents $1.5 trillion.
That would be my answer.
Okay, well, then that's what the government spends, not what they make. That's all I'm saying. So why do you object to me saying government expenditures?
I've already said that.
What are we arguing about?
Because you keep
You're
missing
outraged
this.
You're outraged because I said government spending.
I said it's included.
Well, that's what it is.
But it's not exclusively what it is.
No, nobody said that.
Yes, you did.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I said.
Armand, rewind this tape and listen to yourself.
Including the government.
And I said yes.
And I said that shouldn't be included. That's all I'm saying. That's the point I'm making. When you start talking about GDP, to include the government's ridiculous. That's stupid. And that's why a lot of economists
just told me minutes ago that the GDP is only a reflection.
No, I never said that.
Of what our government spends.
No. That's part of it.
And I said
all
yes.
All I said is it shouldn't be included. It's the private and the public sector, which is ridiculous.
Under this definition, I don't know how it's included.
Also, interest. There's all kinds of other stuff included.
Gross domestic product. It's goods produced.
Right.
Services provided.
I think they've taken more than that, though. Too.
Well,
interest on loans, all that stuff's pumped in there.
Yeah, I hate to think of interest on a loan as a good produced.
Well, that's what they include. That's what I'm saying. It's an arbitrary figure. That's why it's so ridiculous.
So, and my thing was, I showed you, I backed my claim up. Clinton won the counties that produced 2/3 of the GDP. Not one county from Virginia, Maryland, or the District of Columbia is mentioned in there.
Well, I don't know how. You got to explain that to me.
Well, I get good. Call someone.
I'll look it up. I don't know. I'll have to do some reading on it. Yeah, because it doesn't make sense to me. In this country, who spends the most money and who employs the most people? How can you not include them? Right, the government employs the most people, and the government spends the most money.
Because it doesn't say under the definition, doesn't say anything.
Yeah,
about
but that's
employment.
Not the definition. That's not the definition of
you
the
don't
article.
Like this definition.
No, I want the article. You have two different sources. You have a source for has the most GDP, and then you have a definition of GDP. Is that there are many? There are many definitions of GDP, and I don't know how you can discount Washington D.C. because that's included. They spend $4 trillion a year. Anyway, I mean, go to your whatever. I mean, what's next here? Oh, the Balfour Declaration. We've gone over this ad nauseum. This is Chaim Weizmann, the first president of Israel. By Balfour, we're talking about Arthur Balfour, who was a future prime minister. But at this time, I believe he was foreign secretary, I believe. And basically, this guy was friends with Chaim Weizmann for a long time. And in fact, in the 1908, 1910, around then, we talked about this. He wanted a homeland for the Jews. And he said, hey, how about Uganda? That's kind of cool.
How did that ever get to be the first suggestion?
Well,
did he
part
just,
of the Commonwealth.
Did he spin the globe?
I think Madagascar was in there, too.
point his finger? I mean, was it that simple? I mean,
it was part of the Commonwealth. It's like, hey, and then Chaim Weizmann says something like, hey, how would you like a homeland? And we put you, all the British, in, take you out of London and put you in Saskatchewan. And he said, well, we have always lived in London. And Chaim Weizmann said, we've always lived in Palestine. We'll take that. So anyway.
At some level, just blurting out Uganda is just
not?
Insulting.
It's like Shark Tank. He made an offer.
He did.
He made an offer.
They countered with Palestine.
All this, of course, was because Weizmann, during World War One, we talked about this, the shells, 30% of the shells were duds. Chaim Weizmann.
30% duds.
Maybe more. Came up with a way of making that blasting cap with acetone. He did
90 times more reliable?
Much more reliable.
90%
more reliable?
It went
down like 10% or whatever less.
Okay, there you go.
So he was a chemist and he facilitated making acetone. And that's what they used for the cap on the shell and, out of gratitude. And then Lord Rothschild was consulted, too. This was the new Zionism, Theodore Herzl and all them. So now, of course, the Arabs knew nothing about this.
No, they didn't get the memo.
No, they didn't know anything about it.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, the Balfour Declaration, goes out on November 2nd. Well, we got a plot east. We go to Moscow.
Oh, yeah.
The Military Revolution Committee. You got it. This is communism at its best.
I wonder what the dues were to join.
A committee already.
How many rubles a month was that?
Of the Petrograd Soviet.
Which is now, of course, St. Petersburg.
Mm-hmm. They're tasked with this little deal, Armand. Prepare and then carry out the Russian Revolution.
Yeah, and make it quick. And do it cheap. And listen, we want that by sundown.
So what do you do when you're tasked with carrying out a revolution? Well, you hold a committee meeting. So the first meeting of the Military Revolutionary Committee,
first thing you do is form a committee.
Form a committee.
You divide up into committees.
Get T-shirts printed, maybe some letterhead.
Get some billboards. Things you put in the ground,
The stakes
by
with
150.
So that's November 2nd, 1917, which is kind of,
I think they.
It's a starting point for the Russian Revolution.
Who was this? The People's Judean Front?
Man, oh, man.
All right.
Now, some good news in history.
Those were the days, man.
1920, KDKA.
Oh, yeah, right.
Comes on the air. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania starts as the first commercial radio station. Now, the first broadcast is the result of the presidential election of 1920. Makes sense.
And we're going to be talking about that in a
makes
moment.
Because
as one of my favorite presidents won.
Yep.
So, by the way, that was the greatest landslide in American history,
How many states in 1920?
Well, it doesn't matter. He won like 64% of the vote.
Oh, the popular vote?
Yeah.
Any electoral wipeout, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I assume so. But, yeah, it was a big landslide.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a pretty big landslide. Well, when you're going against Wilson's legacy,
It's
not that tough. I don't even remember who was running for the – was it Davis?
That's a good question, man.
Well, I know who's vice presidential candidate. So do you.
Alf Landon?
No. A Democrat.
Adlai Stevenson.
Let me give you a hint. Who's the man I hate the most in this world?
Roosevelt.
That's him. He ran for vice president. Was it Davis? No, I thought he was 24. Smith was 28. Give me his initials.
Yeah, so the Republicans have got...
Harding and Coolidge.
Harding, yeah. The Democrats have... the newspaper publisher and governor of Ohio, James M. Cox.
Oh, Cox. Yeah. And FDR, of course.
Was Cox's VP candidate.
Yeah. I always remember that. Yeah.
Now,
FDR sucks.
Yeah.
Cox runs.
The results were pretty dramatic. What Cox won was the Democratic Old South.
Yeah, that was about it.
Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina,
they're
Virginia.
Still smarting over
Texas
the Civil
even.
War. Yeah.
Harding wins all of the Northeast, including the quasi-southern state of West Virginia. I say quasi because it's not really a southern state. He did win Tennessee.
Yeah, he won everything, man.
And then he won other states that, historically lean southern. Missouri, Oklahoma, and then he won the entire West.
Yeah. How many electoral? What was the electoral?
404 to 127.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Now, you said 64%.
Something like that.
They
yeah.
calculate it today at 60%.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about
but
that.
But hold on, hold on. 16 million votes, 16.1 million for Harding, and 9,139,000 for James Cox.
Yeah, that's
that
about
is 60%. A significant wipeout.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get close to that again, over 60%.
Yeah, well, his 26.2 margin.
That's pretty big.
Still the highest popular vote margin in presidential history.
Oh, yeah. And that was, you know, what was the population of the country back then?
And the reason being, the biggest margin of victory ever is the unopposed, of course, James Monroe.
Well, yeah.
But that doesn't count. That's
right.
Not
Washington's right. Unopposed,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. But we're going to talk about Harding today.
Yeah, so go ahead. So Harding.
Well, it's his birthday.
Yeah,
so.
It's his birthday. It's
are we going to do it on our birthdays?
No. We'll get to it. Because he's not made president this day.
Well,
you know, he doesn't win the election this day. Because it's he does win the election, actually. This is when the election was still first Tuesday.
After the first Monday.
Yeah, after the first Monday, and that's,
It can be it's November 2nd.
Yeah, so it's
November 2nd to November 8th.
It's as early as it can fall. November 2nd, 1920. So that's the day Harding, and that's my dad's great.
Kicked ass.
That's my dad's grade school, by the way. Warren G. Harding grade school.
What's the G? Don't look at it.
I don't know.
Gamaliel.
Whoa.
You didn't know that?
No. Gamaliel.
I thought, Mr. Name's over here.
Oh, man.
It's a kick-ass name.
That is a kick-ass name.
I bet he banged Nan Britton that night, too.
Yeah, he probably did. Did she live on K Street?
She lived in his closet.
Really?
Yeah, he used to bang her in the closet at the White House. He had a couple of Secret Service guys standing outside looking for the old lady.
Huh.
Yeah, man.
And everybody got all in a tussle about Bill.
Yeah, big deal.
He wasn't even getting the full-on Monty, was he?
Well,
he wasn't
like JFK doing it.
In the swimming pools. God knows where else.
I forgot those two. What were they again?
Fiddle and Faddle?
I think that's right.
Okay.
Cuff and Link. No, that was Stallone's Turtles, right? Remember that?
No.
Yeah, remember Rocky?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
the two turtles, Cuff and Link.
Yes. Yeah. More turtles. 1936, the BBC initiates BBC television service.
Okay.
The first, now you're going to love this definition. The world's first high definition.
Oh, yeah. Ultra high.
Then defined as 200 lines.
That's pretty high definition
stuff. Well, for 1936.
Pretty sharp.
Hell yeah, it is. Of course, it's still in service today. You know it today as BBC One, which was renamed to BBC One back in
shite.
1964. Oh, the programming's fine.
Why is it run by the government? That's.
They have
I don't care about their programming.
They have other providers. ITV.
I don't know about BBC anymore.
Sky.
Okay, as long as it's private, I'm fine with
it. They have others.
I don't care what they put on there. As long as it's private.
1947, this is the day that the spruce goose takes flight, Armand.
Which is really made out of birch.
Right.
Not spruce.
But they couldn't come
the
up
Hercules.
With a nickname for the...
Yeah, well, didn't... Yeah,
the
didn't
birch
sing.
Bomber didn't really
which
roll
I guess
off
was depicted pretty accurately in The Aviator.
It was, I think. Yeah. Because the plane never got very high.
No, it went for a mile or two. That's about it.
Los Angeles Harbor. So Howard Hughes... takes it up after, of course, the United States Senate has crawled up his ass about where'd all
vindicated.
The money go. And he tells them, where'd all the money for everyone else
right.
go?
And he's right.
And he was
all
correct.
All kinds of money was.
Right.
In fact, that's how Truman got to be vice president. That was
by haranguing.
Nobody ever knew him, but he was looking around for waste during World War II.
Yeah.
And that's what he ferreted out all this stuff.
Yeah.
That made him this big, deficit hawk.
Which
is okay. I wish we had more guys like that.
Champion of actual budgets.
Yeah. Right. We need people.
And if
like
you're going to spend the money, it's okay to spend it. Make sure we get something in return.
That should be a cabinet level department right there.
It's not a bad
inspecting
idea.
Inspecting everybody else.
It's not a bad idea.
Oh, I'm all for that.
I mean, look, I think most
like
American
Internal Revenue Service for the government.
Yes, hold on. Most American taxpayers, don't you think, would agree? I don't have a problem spending the money as a collective, because we pool our taxes, obviously. Then elect representatives to decide how they're going to be spent. As long as we get something of tangible or useful value in return. But when it just goes down the pockets of...
Well, special interests and everybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
And
it's
then
wasted.
And then it just becomes, it's just enriching the...
Well, whatever. Well, that's...
That sector.
How many times have I told you my ideas on taxation? It's very simple. enough to run the, you know, to run the government, an efficient government, yeah, defend the nation, and maybe build a road here and there. That's it.
Well, you need to run the courts, and that's a
well, that's part of the government, okay, judicial system. Right.
But
yeah,
you would be big
what does
on
that cost.
You'd be big on the judiciary versus the executive and the legislative.
No, they're all co-equal branches. So
yeah, okay,
what I'm small on is entitlements. For instance, Medicare. Where in the Constitution? That's not constitutional. But instead of using it to defend the country
I don't think anyone's making a claim that Medicare is in the Constitution.
Yeah, well, nobody cares. But I'm just saying, it's used to redistribute wealth and make the country fairer.
Okay, back to
that I can't stand.
Back to the Hercules. It's the largest fixed-wing aircraft ever built to this day.
Well, yeah, the damn thing's
it's
bigger.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
if you've never
bigger than a football field.
Go to Long Beach, see it.
It's not there anymore.
Now they did. They moved it up to Oregon,
yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah, it's not there anymore.
It's only the Queen Mary down in Long Beach. Well, that's haunted, so you can go on
that. Yeah, go on that.
Yeah. Go up to Oregon and see it, though. I mean, that's
worth the trip, but yeah, it's big.
All right. Who was born on this date? I only got a couple today, Armand. I was interested to see what you had. I have Daniel Boone, born in 1734.
Yeah.
Of course, I was married at his house.
Where's that, Kentucky?
No, it's in New Melle, Missouri.
Oh, well, yeah, he did move out here. That's later.
It's later.
He was born. Yeah. Like,
but he's, yeah, he's
born out. Well, I don't think he's born in Kentucky.
No, he came through the Cumberland Gap.
Yeah,
he's a Virginian.
Trailblazing and, well, looking for pelts, et cetera,
absolutely,
trapping,
absolutely,
fighting Indians.
Yeah.
Yeah, only believe about half of what you read about him.
Oh, total legendary stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Marie Antoinette, born in 1755, of course, in Austria, because she's Austrian.
Marie Theresa is her mother. She was obviously married off to Louis the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't turn out well, but then again, we got a great movie out of it with my favorite actress, Norma Shearer.
And directed by Sofia Coppola, starring...
What?
Yeah. She directed Marie Antoinette.
Oh,
the newest version.
I bet it sucked.
Yeah, you should watch it and see what you think.
Who played Marie Antoinette?
The German girl, Dunst. Kirsten Dunst?
Yeah.
Do I have that right?
I don't know. Yeah,
it was good casting because... Well, she's like, okay, I need a German.
Well, there's no Scotty Beckett playing the Dauphin.
No, no.
He was great.
The girl they get to play the king's.
Madame Du Barry?
Yeah. Oh, she was fantastic.
Well, yeah, they hated each other. I think it was Gladys George in the old one.
Yeah.
John Barrymore played Louis the 15th.
I don't know. Rip Torn plays King.
Louis the 15th?
Yeah, he plays the 15th. It's pretty damn.
He's no John Barrymore, but he's okay.
Damn funny, though. James K. Polk, born in 1795.
I didn't even look him up. All right, James Knox Polk.
And then, of course, the man who won election wins the presidential election.
I like this guy.
On his birthday, Warren G. Harding.
Well, therein lies the difference. Polk went around, you know, fighting the Mexicans and, you know, taking land, which you may or may not be for. Harding won that landslide because the guy's a great president. Nobody remembers him. Why? Because he didn't do anything. And he knew that's it. He disarmed, right? That's good. He cut taxes. First of all, we were in a recession, if not a depression, in 1920. It only lasted about 14 months.
Was the economy retracting?
Yeah, after the war. Yeah, after blowing all that money on the war, sure. But it only lasted a few months. He didn't do anything. He cut taxes, cut spending.
Yeah.
Unemployment went. I got these figures down.
So you're saying he paid for his tax cut?
I don't know if he paid for it. Yeah, I guess.
But he did cut spending.
Right. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Cut spending. I agree with that. Yeah, right.
All right.
Which is, that's the problem I have with cutting taxes now, but I'd still rather have cutting taxes than no taxes.
And just let the deficit balloon.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, by the way, who is known as Madame Deficit?
That's a great name. That's a great name.
Well, duh, Marie Antoinette.
Yeah. She rang it up.
Yeah.
Well, it's either going to be her. It had to be her or Mary Todd Lincoln, right?
Madame Deficit. Okay. So that's
because those two could spend.
Yeah, but as I ask you many times, Obama spent $10 trillion added to the debt. Nobody cared about it.
No, I think people cared.
Okay. Well, I don't care if you add $2 trillion to the debt. I don't care if it's cutting taxes because that's good debt. And here's my philosophy.
I heard a projection, though, that we're at 20 now.
20 what? 20 trillion.
Trillion.
And that thereabouts.
It's going to go up to 30.
Sure. The way
like
they're going.
Pretty quickly.
Well, nobody cares about it. Trump doesn't care.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. But if we're going to do it, I'd rather have in taxes. And here's my philosophical question for you.
Okay.
Since you have stated it doesn't mean that much.
No. I've said this.
Okay.
Either it means something or it doesn't. Tell us which it is, and let's get on with it.
Yeah, but if...
But if you're saying it doesn't matter, fine. Then let's do what you suggest, Armand. Let's cut the taxes, and let's have a different, you know, so we all have some more change in our pockets.
Well, my philosophical question is, if it doesn't matter, why tax anybody anyway? Why pay for anything? Why don't you just do it all in debt? Go $4 trillion in the hole every year.
Well, I can answer that question easily.
Okay, please do.
No one will lend you any money.
Well, I don't know. You'll get inflation. But where do you stop getting inflation?
And that.
Okay, well, that's my point. But you say if it doesn't matter, it's got to matter somewhere.
But I've never said it didn't matter.
Well, I'm not talking about these people that say it doesn't matter.
Right.
There are a lot of economists say it does, like Krugman.
Yeah, but don't. I mean, come on. Well, who's going to lend money? And that includes your own citizens. Are they really going to lend you money? Are they going to buy treasuries?
Depends. You sell bonds or whatever. You do all this crazy and shit they do already.
Okay, and they default on them.
Well, I would have told you that 20 years ago, would you have thought we'd have zero interest rates?
You'd
say that's impossible.
God, no.
Well, we've got them.
I always assumed, Armand, because,
I don't think anything's impossible.
Someone would buy me a treasury, note as a kid, one of those,
one of those maturing bonds you're 58.
Exactly. And you'd see the interest rate and you'd think, I'm starting to understand how this works a little bit. And that used to be a thing. I'm sure you got them as a kid as birthday presents as well, right?
Yeah, I hated it.
Well, I know.
I wanted a G.I. Joe.
You couldn't play with it. You had to go put in the safe deposit box.
I had to play with myself.
Right, which...
That was fun, too, at a certain point. All right, go ahead.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so this is how your generation, my generation, started to learn about...
Every generation.
Right, because we... My kids, my kids born in the mid-90s, and I'm going to tell you, even kids born in the late 80s, I don't think anyone thought, you know what, let's go get them a United States Treasury bond.
No, that never happened. Well, they don't pay anything. Yeah,
right, because they're worthless. If I'm going to give you $50, I'm going to hand it to you in cash. And I can remember, Armand, when that started to change. When at Christmas and my birthday, I'd always have a couple, of those bond slips that you would get.
Yeah.
Okay. And eventually it just became checks, and then it just became cash. Well, and right there, that should have told the rest of the adults something.
Well, that's what I'm just trying to say, though. Quote, rules that we all were brought up on, that it took anybody that took anything in college, have all been sundered. They've been ground to dust.
I mean,
they're giving you money in Germany. You have a negative interest rate.
I mean, listen, folks.
They're paying you to take a loan.
Just think back to your birthday. If you are over 40 years old, think back to your birthday in 1970 or 1960 and think about how many of those envelopes you got with this is a 20-year bond. It'll mature on you'll be 25 and you'll have X amount of dollars at this point.
Well, if you get them today, send them back. They're useless.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, these economic rules are all turned on their heads. But anyway, Harding did nothing. And that's another point I'd like to make. Like, what's everybody bitching about? You get rid of Obamacare, there goes Obama's legacy. Who gives a fuck about his legacy? Is that what this country's about? What Obama looks like in the history books? And I don't care about JFK's legacy or Trump's legacy or Bush's legacy.
You shouldn't care about anyone's legacy.
Well, that's what they're arguing. He'll have no
legacy.
I don't
know that that's the argument.
I hear it over and over again.
From who?
From Obama, first of all.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No,
well,
you don't.
And his acolytes.
He himself has said there are significant problems with it and it needs to be fixed.
Well, that's big of him.
He has. He's on record. I don't know what more you want from him.
Silence.
Okay. Well, he has been pretty quiet.
Yeah, I know. Well, Hillary's taken up all,
Well, she's selling a book, Armand. So, of course, she's going
to. And uranium.
Of course, she's going to be out there loud and.
But we don't really want to look into that, I guess, right?
We have. It's been looked into.
Oh, it has been.
I'll send you.
Everything's okay.
I'll send you
the articles. We don't need any other investigation. Oh, your articles say. Well, it's cleared up then.
Of course. Because
they investigated it.
If I read something, folks, it's fake. If Armand reads it, it's gospel.
No. If it's a Democrat, it's dismissed. If it's a Republican, let's look into it. Ad nauseum. That's all. And that's the hypocrisy of the media, too.
Oh, okay.
Well, we can't even look into it. It's done.
It's been looked into.
You read the articles.
It's been looked into.
So's Russia. We've been looking into it for 18 months.
Yeah.
And what did they get? Mueller's been laundering money in 2010. But that's not going to stop anything. I'm not Mueller. What's his name? Manafort. That's what I'm saying. I don't care if they crawl up Trump's ass. Good. But these people that are looking at him under a magnifying glass, under a microscope, they could care less about what she did. You don't think it strains credulity that Clinton's over there giving a speech and getting $500,000, and meanwhile she's okaying a deal with the Russians. That doesn't qualify. Anyway,
here's one. Is Forbes fake news?
They're all right.
Okay. Forbes headline. Now, granted, this is a headline. Claims of Clinton-Russia uranium collusion are a real empty barrel.
What, are you going to read the whole article? Just send it to me.
I'll send it to you.
And I'll send you articles, too.
This is what I'm going to send you. And I'll punch a hole in every one of your articles, by the way. Don't for a second think
that I won't print them up.
I'll
put them on your computer. You can punch a hole in that.
No, I don't want to hit Mike. I don't want to. Getting a new screen is hard.
Yeah, good. All of a sudden, you're going to quote Forbes, huh? Well, I got some articles from Forbes you ought to read.
Yeah, I read Forbes all the time. Yeah. I have a friend who works for Forbes.
Okay. What's that got to do with it?
That's why I read it all the time. Got a guy I used to use as a radio guest a lot. He writes for him now.
Well, they want tax cuts.
Yes.
Okay.
Don't we all?
No.
You think
Chuck Schumer wants tax cuts?
You're in some delusional.
Maybe
land,
you do, but you think the typical Democrat in the Senate wants tax? How many of you think are going to vote for this? They're going to say it's tax cuts for the rich, and the usual boilerplate, and that's where you get the old chestnut. As you even said it, it's all tax cuts for the rich.
It is.
No, it's got to be though.
No.
If you're gonna reduce the non-taxable income from what the immediate 12 to 24,000 on,
the rich
get that too.
Same argument we had earlier. It's just similar.
Well, read Forbes. See what Forbes says.
Yeah,
that's your Bible.
The rich are gonna get a tax.
Everybody's gonna get a tax cut. Yeah. The rich pay more.
But this what they trotted out though. I don't know what everyone's problem is when the average tax cuts $1,000 or $4,000. That's just deceptive. That's just deceptive.
And, I hope it's not. I hope some of the people that don't pay tax have to start paying, but they're still going to get more in services. Say you make $35,000 or $25,000, you're below poverty, right?
Okay, you should
be paying 10%. That's $2,500, but you're going to be getting $15,000 in food stamps and everything else. You know that. Housing. But everybody should. Do you agree that everybody should have skin in the game? Should pay something, including the 47% that pay nothing federal.
Mm.
I think everybody should. Okay, where are we?
We're at Burt Lancaster, born on this date in 1913, man.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Burt.
He's a big liberal, but not a bad guy. I like, he won the Academy Award for Elmer Gantry, 1960.
60? Okay.
His big breakthrough was The Killers.
Oh,
and he turned
gritty
down.
Gritty crime one.
He always hated
Marlon
Brando.
That was a Jim Thompson book, wasn't it?
No.
The Killers?
Oh, The Killer. No.
The book. It was like a Hemingway. Pulp Fiction novel.
Hemingway.
Wrote The Killers?
Yeah. It's a short story by Ernest Hemingway.
No shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Tarantino only steals from the best, man. So anyway, that made him. He turned down Streetcar Named Desire, and that made a star out of Brando, of course, on Broadway. Wanted to be, we've talked about it. He was supposed to be Ben-Hur. He was supposed to be Samson. But Cecil B. DeMille and he didn't get along politically, so he wasn't in those movies. I guess my favorite Burt Lancaster is probably Sweet Smell of Success, where he plays J.J. Hunsecker.
The Killer Inside Me is Jim Thompson.
I've never read that one.
It's a good pulp
crime
noir
stuff.
Type thing. Yeah,
I've been reading Mike Hammer lately, getting off on my Mike Hammer short stories. Man, he knew how to treat women. Okay, so anyway, Burt Lancaster.
Yeah, what year did Hemingway do this?
Well, the movie was in 1946, so.
Well, pretty early. 1927.
Yeah, well, the
20s. Scribner's Magazine, Armand.
Yeah, it was like a little novella or something. It wasn't.
Okay.
Okay, so Burt Lancaster.
Yeah, happy birthday, Burt. I loved him in Field of Dreams.
Yeah, he's getting a little old now.
I know, but that was a good role, man.
Kirk Douglas. He pissed off Kirk Douglas.
Really?
Yeah, when they had their two shot, he hit his lifts.
In Field of Dreams?
No, not in that movie, but in 7 Days in May or whatever.
Because
Kirk Douglas is about 5'6".
Yeah.
And Burt Lancaster is about 6 feet tall, 6'1".
Yeah,
Douglas had big lifts in his shoes.
For an actor, he's big.
Yeah. Well, he's an acrobat. That's why
those stunts
see him doing, he did them.
He could do them.
The train, man, that was a man.
1958, Willie McGee, one of my favorite baseball players. 1985, National League.
Isn't that when Howard Cole said he looked like E.T. or something, got in all
that
trouble?
That was in the 82 World Series, Armand. Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't go over well.
But the MVP batting title in 85 and batting title again in 1990.
I think they hired him, didn't they?
He is now a St. Louis Cardinal coach.
Okay.
I don't think hitting coach, but coach.
Teach him how to run the bases,
hip-hop
too.
Hip-hop rapper Nelly, born on this date in 1974. Anyone else on birthdays you got?
Birthdays? Who have I got here? Well, that's a death.
Nope, you're good. All right, 1959.
I got all deaths here. What is this?
Charles Van Dorn admits to the Congressional Committee that he had indeed been given the questions in advance and even some of the answers in advance.
Well, I think maybe it was his birthday. I think it's Edward V's birthday.
On the quiz show 21.
Wait a minute. We got to go into this.
Edward V?
Edward V. Yeah, his birthday. Ruled for 78 days.
That's, and then he got short time.
Got chucked in the tower with his brother, Richard, Duke of York. Not Dick York, who's Darren on Bewitched.
Not to be confused with Dick Sargent.
Not Dick Sargent either, yeah. Anyway, who killed him? We don't know. In the play, Richard III, it was Tyrell. Richard III, of course, said, listen, this guy, his father, who was Edward IV, of course, was married to a commoner, Elizabeth Woodville. That's no good. Can't have a king from a commoner.
No.
So...
You've tainted the royal bloodline
Armand. I think they've found the skeleton remains of the two kids.
Those are the two princes found in the tower, staircase.
Yep.
You ever been in the tower?
Yeah. I took the tour, the Tower of London.
Oh, it's a great tour, isn't it? Oh, man. It's
saw the crown jewel.
Man, those beefeaters that...
it's a nice job.
...that guide you through there, they do such an amazing job. You know, they got names for all the ravens and everything.
It's been a long time.
It was cool, though, man.
All right. Now the quiz show scandals.
So Charles Van Dorn admits on this date that...
See, I'll admit it. I won my $500,000. It was all fixed.
No, it wasn't. how do you think you would have done on 21? That would seem like a hard show, first of all. But Van Dorn...
Not very well if the other guy's got the answers.
And as portrayed by
Van Dorn?
Yeah,
that was
portrayed by
Ralph
Fiennes in the
Turturro was great.
Redford, yeah.
You know, these guys are all still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Stemple, Van Dorn.
Stemple's alive. Van Dorn's alive.
Dick Goodwin.
The host, right?
He's the guy that coined the phrase the Great Society because he's working for Lyndon Johnson.
Oh, that's who gave Lyndon that. Yeah. No way Lyndon thought of that.
No, are you kidding? He's too busy,
pulling ears on dogs.
Playing with his scar and cutting
dropping his pants.
Cutting farts at state dinners. Yeah. Having a little fun. What a gentleman.
So Van Dorn, if you've never seen the movie Quiz Show.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
It's a good movie.
They changed some of the facts, but because they actually had three or four shows in a row they were on because they really built this up. And of course, they did do that Marty thing, which was one of my questions, too.
Oh, the 1955 Best Picture?
It was the first, and I knew this, but I didn't have to see the day. I love
it. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, what was the first movie, American movie? No, it was the first movie to win the Palme d'Or at Cannes. And I didn't have to have the...
It was Marty.
Marty.
Oh, I never knew that.
Delbert Mann, yep.
Oh, I never would have even guessed it came as late as 55.
Yeah, if you watch the show, I'm going, oh, gee, I don't know. And then I say Marty.
Oh, did they ask you to play it up?
Yeah, well, no, they didn't have to.
All right.
Hey, listen, I know drama, okay? You don't have to... They had to pat my head with the handkerchief.
Yeah.
There he is. That's what he's doing. He's better at it than I am.
Matt the Brow.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great. Yeah, Herb Stemple.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great movie. One of my favorites.
Turturro nailed that role, too. He really did.
You know, but in a way, do you have a real problem with it? I don't.
If I sit down to understand it's only entertainment, I don't give a crap.
Okay, would you have felt betrayed, though, if you'd been watching all these and you didn't know, and would you have been outraged?
No, outraged, no, betrayed, yeah. All and right. I'd be like, yeah, I don't really want to watch it.
For instance, you watch the great, like the Cardinal game, the game six.
Yeah.
Okay, if a year later, 6 months later, you found out that was all
staged. It'd be disappointing.
Maybe, but it still doesn't detract from the adrenaline rush and all the emotion.
Not at the time, it happened.
And this had to be great.
Hey, if you were there for McGuire's home run thing with Sosa, it happened.
Yeah.
And you felt whatever you felt. Now, after the fact, you're like, oh, I was cheated. That wasn't really an honest performance. Yeah.
See, I don't feel cheated about that.
Yeah. Well, but it's up to you how you feel.
As if you didn't know. Well,
it's up to the individual.
As if you didn't know they're taking steroids. You've never lifted weights if you look at those guys and say, oh, they're not taking roids. But this is different. This is totally fixed.
Oh, it's fixed. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. I don't see what the big, you know.
So you're saying your win of $500,000 on Millionaire was tainted.
That's right. I'll admit it.
Okay.
They gave me the answers.
1960, you ever heard of this? The Lady Chatterley's Lover case.
Yeah, of course.
Penguin Books.
I didn't know it was Penguin Books.
Is charged with obscenity in the trial.
It's great for sales, I'll tell you that.
R versus Penguin, just what I was saying yesterday. You give me an R-rated movie,
X.
I'll sell tickets. You give me a book that you want to sell a book, make sure it gets banned.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I was in high school, we were reading the Canterbury Tales, and they came out with that Italian movie, I think Bertolucci or something. And the teacher said,
Bernardo Bertolucci?
Somebody did it. Yeah, I think it might have been Bertolucci. Anyway, she said,
Last Tango in Paris of deal?
I'd tell you guys to go see it, but it's rated X. So naturally, we were 17.
Naturally, 18 boys ran all went to the theater.
Yeah. You think I would have gone to the Tivoli if it hadn't been X? Of course.
Oh, man. It's like Tipper Gore sold more albums in the 1990s than anybody
that
else.
Crusade.
Because of that crusade.
Yeah. Well, that's
If I was the artist, I would have been sliding her money. Yeah, keep complaining.
Yeah.
Because sales are going through the roof.
I know. I'd have a deal with the Catholic.
Put three explicit labels on it.
Why do you think people went to see The Last Temptation of Christ, which is horrible?
Because the Catholic Church said don't see it.
Yeah, because you go to hell if you see it.
Yeah.
All right. That's my kind of film.
Let's go.
I don't want one that St. Peter sanctions.
They'll never get it. Why? Crazy. Why don't you? And it's like, who is the guy from Boardwalk Empire? Nucky?
I don't watch it.
Oh, you don't?
I don't watch anything after 1960.
But like the day the prohibition on alcohol.
Well, yeah, of course.
You magnificent, stupid bastards. Thank you.
Well, what are we talking about with the drug war? You think it's going to go skyrocket if it's legal? You think it's going to go way down if it's legal? Anyway.
Yep.
Anyway, right. Lady Chatterley, just a couple things.
So Penguin Books is found not guilty.
Yeah. You know her real name?
Lady Chatterley?
Name, the literary character's name.
Well, it's a D.H. Lawrence, right?
Yeah, that's who did the... Yeah, that's the author.
Okay.
Lady Chatterley is Constance Reed.
Constance Reed?
Yeah, and her lover Constance. Is Mellors. Yeah. What is it Oswald Mellors or something?
Oswald.
No, it could have been Oswald. Something... Oliver Mellors.
Oswald
better. Oswald was a rabbit.
Yes. And then, of course, an assassin.
Yes.
1965, Norman Morrison. You ever heard of this Quaker?
No.
Okay. Quakers, this is the man who set himself on fire in front of the entrance to the Pentagon, protesting, of course, the Vietnam War and mimicking what the Buddhist monk had done in Saigon by setting himself on fire.
With that stuff, man, boy, are they nuts.
I cannot even begin to imagine what it would take to set yourself on fire.
I'm not sure this guy, what I'm thinking is this guy, I don't know if he went up a little more than he thought he would or something, but I'm going to look that up because I know
I've seen this reenacted.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't
where
know.
He
if
walks
really,
up the you know,
they
he's
pour gas
up.
On him like the Buddhists? Because I thought it was something
I think
a little,
he did the whole thing where he held it over his head.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it was deliberate. Because I thought it was a little bit more than he thought it was going to be.
Wow.
I guess, did it kill him? I don't know. Because those Buddhists, man, they went up.
Well, and specifically, how that guy ever sat there in that kneeling position while he was totally engulfed in flames, that's otherworldly
to
me.
That's what the dragon lady said, you know. Ironically, the oil was imported or something like that. The kerosene.
Yeah. 19.
She always had a smart ass comment. Yeah. We're going to go into that today, too.
1983. This is the day that Ronald Reagan creates Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, wait a minute. We might as well go into it. 1963. This is the coup. This is where they kicked DM out.
This is where DM does get kicked out of South Vietnam.
Well, he got killed. Him and his brother got They put him in an APC and blew their brains out.
This is just weeks before the assassination.
Yeah, three weeks before Kennedy.
It's been well noted that as soon as Kennedy heard that, he knew it was all over, all sorts of trouble for Vietnam.
Yeah, so did Ho Chi Minh.
Yeah.
He said that was the dumbest move they could have made because this guy at least kept – everybody hated him, but he was a pretty tough – he was the exact leader they kind of needed at that time, him and his brother, and then the dragon lady, the wife, the sister-in-law. She lucked out. She was in Washington at the time.
Same date, November 2nd, 1963.
Yeah.
Yes,
3 weeks before Kennedy got it.
Yeah, 20 days before.
Yep.
1983, yes, Reagan does sign the – MLK Jr. Day into law.
You know, I don't have a problem with that, but now they don't like they. I think they cut out Veterans Day.
No, Veterans Day should be a national holiday.
I don't think you get them anymore.
I'm fine with Columbus Day kind of going
that
away.
Can go,
but Veterans Day should be. If Memorial Day is, I don't understand why Veterans Day can't be.
Nope. Well, I don't think they have that anymore.
Is it because we already have Thanksgiving in November?
We have too many. Yeah, apparently. Oh, well, I'm not agreeing with it. But I'm just saying. What's one more day, more or less?
It's not.
Let's
nothing.
Be more like France.
Can I have, July
six
to
weeks.
September
yeah,
off?
6 weeks and then
that'd be great.
In the summer.
1988.
You're not happy with your job? You work too hard again? I'll take it up with the general manager.
Yeah, you go ahead and do that. Well, I'll put my output against yours any day.
Well, I'm not complaining.
I produce GDP, Armand.
I consume.
You consume. The first computer worm.
Which, according to Keynes, I'm more valuable than you are.
Well, consumers are valuable. They are.
Yeah, right. Supply but side versus
not,
demand
not
side.
Not in the way Keynes.
I'm very demanding.
Not in the way Keynes, of course.
Let's go outside and dig a hole and fill it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the clock.
There you go. Yeah. See the output of our production?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There
great.
Is that little mound there.
Yeah, yeah, great. Now we got loose earth.
Like that Jack Webb movie, the DI.
Remember this he killed is something my wife does. I'll come home, Armand, and she likes to garden, and she'll be out just sweating dirt all over. She'll be like, look at what I've done today. And I'll look around the yard and I'll be like,
yeah, you got everything dirty. You
looks,
tracked mud in
looks
the house.
Great. And I'll be thinking to myself, I don't
yeah, what
see
have you done?
One thing. I see a pile that's maybe been moved from there to there.
Yeah.
And that's it.
A little sapling shall grow.
And I'll be like, oh, God.
No, yeah, I want you to say that. You waste your whole day. And then you get
I have before.
Then you get hit with a rolling pin.
I have before.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Morris worm, the computer worm, this is the first one that ever got big mainstream media attention.
Okay.
The kids at MIT.
This. I had no idea what it was.
They launched it. The kids at MIT put it out there into the computer system in the early days of the internet. Those MIT pranksters.
Well, now the original, what do we call them now? Bugs or whatever?
Call them
it's a virus. But I think the original was an actual insect in the damn computer, I think.
I think a worm.
A moth.
Yeah,
whatever the hell it was.
Well, it'll screw up the hard drive.
Well, yeah, whatever it was. I'm just saying. That's where this came from. It was an actual something.
But I do think, technically speaking, a worm is different than a virus. No, a worm gets in there
stuff.
And just it causes stuff not to work, let's say.
Yeah.
A virus replicates and spreads.
Yeah, we
and
said.
If
you want to avoid viruses, don't go on those religious sites.
Exactly.
All right, let's get some deaths. Let's get some good old-fashioned dying.
I only have three today.
I got some good ones.
Good. Start me with something good. 1887.
Swedish Nightingale. You should know this.
The Swedish Nightingale.
Yeah. Jenny Lind.
Jenny Lind.
Man, now you don't realize this gal was like the Madonna of her day.
No kidding.
Oh, man. Yeah, she was an opera singer. She was in Bellini's Norma. P.T. Barnum brought her over here, paid her astronomical, and then cheated her out of some whatever. She thought she was being cheated. But she made a lot of money. And of course, you can't play any bits of her because there's none recorded, supposedly.
Yeah,
there was supposedly one on some Edison, but I've never heard it. One hell of an opera singer, apparently, though. 1887.
All right.
I think it's time for yours.
1950, the great playwright. He's a Nobel Prize laureate. George
and
Bernard
Academy Award
Shaw.
Winner.
What was the Oscar for?
Pygmalion.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And who's the only other man to win a Nobel Prize and an Oscar?
Faulkner?
No.
He never got a screenwriter?
Who do I hate more than anybody except Franklin Roosevelt?
Franklin Roosevelt's son.
No. He was part of the youngest ticket ever to run for president and vice president. He was a vice president.
Spiro Agnew?
Won an Academy Award.
Al Gore?
Thank you. And he deserved it. I mean, come on. That was a great movie, An Inconvenient Truth.
Have you watched the sequel?
Nobody's watched the sequel.
I don't think so.
You
I think a couple people have watched the sequel.
Yeah.
You know, there's a film that was released the other day.
Sarbom.
I forget what it was, but it did 800 at the box office in opening weekend.
Well, what was that movie by? What's
800. I'm not saying 1,000.
Right.
I'm saying dollars.
Well, there's that one guy that opened in England and made like £3. I'm not kidding. That what's his name? That I'm not kidding. We went over it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was like £3 it made. Like sold one ticket. Oh, what I can't believe we forgot the guy's name. I'll look at it. That's funny, man.
Bloom,
I'm telling you.
Bloom and Thea. Who are the guys from the producers?
Oh, yeah, Bjelostock.
Bjelostock and Bloom should have done so well.
Go to work. Yeah. That's what they wish they had that one.
Why couldn't they have come up with that one?
Time for Hitler. You fairy.
So speaking of
what are we talking about?
Actors, directors.
Wait a minute. I got a couple before.
Okay.
That.
All right.
So
George Bernard Shaw.
And by the way, he also wrote that movie I keep telling you to see with Burt Lancaster and Kirk Douglas.
Yeah. Devil's Disciple.
Yeah. Where Lawrence Olivier kept going up to Burt, going, "Hey, Kirk." They're getting a little pissed off at him. He couldn't tell the difference. Yeah, he was.
It's not like they're twins.
They didn't
or
work together
Good
again.
Grief.
Yeah, they're like getting a little sick of him.
Ugh.
Hey, Kirk, come here. Anyway, where was I? Oh,
yeah. So we were
1991.
Yes.
No, wait a minute. 1961. James Thurber, one of my favorite.
Oh,
I like
the great Thurber. Is that Walter Mitty?
Yeah.
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty was
right.
one of the
read
funniest
the
things I ever
it's
read.
It's funny, man. It's great. Yeah.
In school, where you're assigned something to read,
yeah,
it was actually
right.
funny.
It's a good movie, too, with Danny Kaye, even though it's nowhere near, it's nothing like the, well, it's close. A lot closer to that stupid.
Oh, the Ben Stiller thing was horrible.
I have no, why even call it that?
I don't
it has
know.
Nothing to do with Walter Mitty.
I don't know. Oh, no.
That was
no.
awful. Anyway, his last words, these are great.
Of Thurber's?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
God bless. God damn.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's a, like a little sweet and sour there.
I think he said it all right there. He described our relationship. All right. Yeah, by the way, he lost his eye as a kid playing William Tell with his brother. Yeah, and he always
did hear that.
Yeah, he had horrible vision.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll tell you another one. Because my dad, their neighborhood used to play that.
William Tell. Oh, yeah.
And now we shot each other with BB guns, but we didn't ever put anything on each other's head.
Yeah, that was kind of stupid.
That's kind of dumb. But they used to play this game, Armand, where you would shoot the bow and arrow straight up into the air, okay? And then you would hold the bow and try to have the arrow go back through the bow on the way back down.
Good idea.
Okay? So he does it. This is my dad. He does this. Shoots it up. Gets a good one. It's coming down. And the kid holds the bow, you know, and goes right through the bow.
Into his foot?
And right into his foot.
Figures, yeah. We used to shoot the bottle rock, throw the bottle rocks on the roof, you know, that's not so bad.
No, that's not so bad. stupidity.
But I could fix that.
Well, podiatrist, yeah. How do you get an arrow out of you?
I've never done an arrow.
An arrow
in
a foot has got to mess up a bunch of bones.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did a couple
metatarsals?
Yeah, or tarsals.
Or tarsals. Okay.
Phalanges, yeah.
1992, Hal Roach.
Wait a minute, 1991. I would think you'd like this guy, Irwin Allen, because you're a big Towering Inferno fan.
I am.
He's a producer.
I like those.
He did that one, Poseidon Adventure.
I love him. Let's flip a ship upside down. Everyone lives in the air bubble.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's got to be a morning after.
Shelley Winters was
good
in
song.
That.
Yeah, she was great. And Ernest Borgnine, well, it's all-star cast.
I'm sure George Kennedy was somewhere in there.
Was he? I don't think so.
Had to be.
If it's not him, it's Ernest Borgnine. They got to get some stinky fat guy in there.
Were they both allowed to be in the film?
I don't think Leslie Nielsen was in it. He was a captain. Gene Hackman. The gal that played Nancy Drew. Remember her? She was in there.
God, this is what a cast.
Jack Albertson.
Listen to this. You got Borgnine, Shelley Winters, Hackman. Red Buttons.
Yeah. Who was
Pamela Sue Martin.
Pamela Sue Martin, right.
Roddy McDowell.
Yeah, I remember him.
Leslie Nielsen.
Right.
Albertson, you just mentioned, right? Albertson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who was Ernest Borg? Carol Lindley? She was looking good.
Oh, yeah,
man.
Carol Lindley's
in. Yeah, she was hot.
She plays Nani.
Yeah, she was Ernest Borgnine's wife.
Whatever.
I wouldn't believe that.
Yeah, there's suspension of disbelief.
Man, maybe I can get laid.
I'll believe a ship turns upside down and everyone lives in an air bubble, but I ain't believing that Carol Lindley is married to Ernest Borgnine.
Oh, by the way, I was saying that he was married to Ethel Merman. They were married for 32 days.
Fred Sadoff, remember him? He was a character actor. Appeared in tons of
I remember Shelley Winters.
This guy appeared in tons of 70s shows.
Yeah, he was on TV a lot.
Like every other episode of Barnaby Jones or something would have this cat in it.
Bob Hastings. Oh, John Crawford. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some black character.
Hell of a cast, man. Oh, I love the disaster movies of the 70s.
Well, he also did Voyage
when
to the Bottom of the Sea.
When you can have fun with cinema.
And, this is Irwin Allen. Land of the Giant or the Time Tunnel.
Yes,
remember that?
They only had
one season. Because basically that was just an excuse to use all the footage they had from all the old movies.
Yeah, it's a good excuse.
It's good. James Darren was in it. Anyway, Irwin Allen, he died in 91.
Yeah.
Now we got Hal Roach, who probably did more for comedy than anybody except maybe Max Sennett and Chaplin.
Hal Roach, baby.
Laurel and Hardy. Now, we've talked about how we had their contracts staggered so they could never
Brilliant.
They could never quit together.
Let me tell you, it's something that sports GMs picked up on, too.
Good idea. Yep.
After the reserve clause, they quickly learned these multi-year deals, don't ever let a whole bunch of guys expire at the same time.
Yeah.
That's right.
Boy, that's a young Hal Roach there. Mm-hmm. He did one very good dramatic. He got kind of out of comedy and started doing drama, Of Mice and Men, 1939. Remember?
He did?
Yeah.
The Burgess Meredith, Of Mice and Men?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, he did Topper. How about that?
Yeah, well, that's a comedy, too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at the Laurel and Hardy.
Sons of the Desert, though. Man.
He also did General Spanky.
Yeah, he did our gang, you mm-hmm. know, which he was smart. He went to TV. He was before any of these other guys.
What about Captain Fury?
Captain Fury. Who was in that? I don't think I remember that one.
The Housekeeper's Daughter?
No. I think that's his phase where he's getting more into drama, I guess, huh?
Pick a Star?
Nope, I don't remember that either.
He did Harold Lloyd films as well?
Yeah. Yeah, Lloyd was with him for a while, I think. Yeah. Hal Roach. Charlie Chase was with him. Patsy Kelly, remember her? Thelma Todd, I think, was over there.
There you go.
Yeah. Before she was whacked by a Lucky Luciano.
Huge contributor to American comedy. I mean, really can't understate it. All right.
And he lived to be 100, almost 101.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He crossed the century mark the year he died.
Yeah, he outlived all those guys. They were all dead, long dead by time.
Incredible. And in 2007, my final one, the fabulous Moolah.
Well, I remember her. She's kind of
wasn't so fabulous, but she was fabulous in her own way.
I don't think I'd want to take her on.
Oh, hell no.
Put you in a figure four.
Are you kidding? Uh-uh. You imagine being under that armpit?
Ooh. That was a lady wrestler. I mean, that's not like China, you know. It was like a stripper, which I like better. I actually knew a lady.
Moolah was just Moolah.
Yeah.
She's a wrestler. Was what you got.
It's like she probably doubled on roller derby, too, you know. She probably could.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about these good-looking, I mean.
Now you got models who, like, okay, they aren't going to be successful models, but they're pretty. So go to the gym, get them on a little bit of steroids, and send them out into the ring.
I think there's a difference, though, because remember, they had Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling and Women of Wrestling.
Which is
Wow.
Off a series on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, that's what I've heard. Glow. Yeah, I remember that. And they had Wow, too. In fact, one of my friends on Facebook, one of my acting mm-hmm. friends, Rachel, was in there. She got me some tickets over at the Great Western Forum.
Oh, yeah.
She was one of the Women of Wrestling.
About that,
but I mean, that's a different. They were like models, but the gals I'm talking about, like China, they're like bodybuilders.
No, they're bodybuilders.
But they're with implants, and they're kind of a hybrid. I don't know what you'd call them.
China's gone now, so
yeah,
dead.
But they don't tear their tops off enough.
No, because
you ever seen a women fight where they don't tear their clothes off? Mm, I haven't.
No, I mean, basically, the first time I ever saw women fighting was in the movie Stripes.
No, I'm talking about real.
And
you ever seen a fight?
Well, that's
women?
What they got. They were in a mud wrestling thing, and all of a sudden, all the tops were off. I just assumed
that's how it
happened. Yeah, they sent Dewey Oxberger in there,
right?
And he cleaned house.
Dewey Oxberger, Francis. That was pretty fun. You know that movie. A classic example. They don't know where to go with it because that whole half with that dumb trailer.
There
it was hilarious.
There
the first
are outtakes
hour.
From that movie that they cut from the final print.
Yeah, I'd rather watch them.
In one of those, they go to Central America.
Yeah, right. I don't know who thought of them.
It's bizarre. Oh, Stripes.
They just kind of ran out of gas, but man, yeah, the training stuff was great. Warren Oates. Punk.
Oh, Sergeant Hulk, welcome to Italy.
Big toe.
I'll shove that big toe right up your ass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sergeant. Yeah.
Well, this is the kind of soldier you'll make.
Warren Oates. Yeah.
What a beauty.
Check
he
him
was.
Out in Dillinger. He was
what
pretty
a
good Dillinger.
Beauty he was. All right. November 2nd, Armand. That's in
All
the
right.
books. Thank
well,
God.
We're going to have to start talking. Yeah, I'm going to have to start checking you up on you.
No, I'm going to send you my links, and you're going to read.
Conspiracy
theories.
There you
go. Yep. It's not conspiracy. It's articles that are published.
So what are they going to pay? Are they going to pass this tax?
I don't know. Interesting. I know it's out today. We'll have to
I
look
think,
into
oh,
it.
Oh, we got it. Did they got – what's his name? The new Fed Secretary, Federal Reserve Chairman.
Ah, who'd it go to?
What's his name? Jim? Jeff? Jeremy?
Wasn't your guy?
No, it wasn't John Taylor.
John Taylor?
Let me look it up. New Fed Secretary.
Yeah, new Fed Secretary doesn't happen every day.
Federal Chairman Reserve. Yeah. Not Charwoman.
Right.
Not Trump. Jerome Powell.
Jerome Powell.
I got to check him
gotta
out.
Got to check him out. Okay. That'll do it for today's edition of This Day in History. Don't forget, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/This Day in History Podcast, and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet. When November 3rd rolls around, we'll be here to tell you about it at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.